Hello, I'm Joe.
And I'm Allison.
And this is Queer Cinema Catch-Up.
The show where we catch up with one another and with queer cinema and miscellaneous topics.
Yeah. We are now on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, we're now on Apple. Exciting.
And please give us a review
if yes,
you would
please,
be so kind. Please. And today we're going to be talking about the new movie Challengers. So basically the way this podcast works is we... We pick queer movies, TV shows, music.
And or anything that we decide based on our own biased perspectives is a queer topic. And sometimes we'll come really prepared with research. Other times we won't.
So maybe the cinema in and itself is like more, not necessarily just movies. It's like,
you know,
entertainment.
I feel like we should go back to college, take a postmodern something, something, something class, and question what even is cinema? I'm sure I had to write a paper or two about that back in the day. Do I remember what I said? No.
Hey, listening to these podcasts, you use the word, not to get academic, but I feel like you are always saying that.
I really want to be academic is the subtext. When I was a former law student, briefly, that's a story for another time, I had a side gig, you know, to make some extra cash. Making these sidekick books. And what is a sidekick book? You might be wondering.
A sidekick?
Yeah, it was a sidekick.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is it like kind of like a Cliff Notes type book that helps you understand?
Correct.
Whoa.
But I wonder if I told you this story before.
No, probably. Honestly, absolutely yes. Should we just launch into it?
I think so. This is a new movie, Challengers.
We went to the early access screening.
Which sounds really cool, but...
It was just kind of like a normal screening.
It was just available.
It was just normal screening.
So for context, this is a movie about...
Yeah, how would you describe this movie?
Three tennis players over the course of their early adulthood, peaking at what the movie wants to say is the like end of their youth, but which I'm kind of rolling my eyes at because none of them looked that old and they were like, what, 30? I mean, for tennis players, yes, I understand. Well, no, Serena goes on to do amazing things after 30, no? I mean...
Yeah.
All right, so we can come back to that later.
Yeah.
Anyway, three tennis players. They have a complex, intimate relationship, both individually and respectively, which each member of this trio and as a unit. It's trying to say that tennis is a metaphor for relationships, which I don't know if it succeeded, but that's what the movie's about. What would you say?
This is you're being academic, Allison, right now. There are only four words to describe this movie. The Zendaya threesome movie. That's all you need to say.
Well, that's
and
true.
People will immediately be like,
that's true.
Oh, that's what it is.
But like, it wasn't even that. Like, that's what I thought. We can get into that.
Yes. I really liked the trailers. There was really an effective one with Rihanna's S&M song that I thought was really catchy. And I was like, holy shit,
you
that's really good.
Rihanna a lot.
And
before the movie.
Yeah, I kept being like, I hope that Rihanna's in the movie. Her music was not. It's directed by Luca Guadagnino.
Who we love and know as the director of...
Call Me By Your Name.
Yes.
And Suspiria.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
And Bones and All.
That one I didn't really want to see, to be honest.
I tried watching it twice and I could not stay focused. I was really excited for this movie.
I was as well. I remember we saw the trailer at different points. We were like excited about it. And I kept saying, oh, this is a perfect QCC movie. And this was even before... We really had started our podcast. So I kept saying, like, when we start our podcast, this is a movie. And you were like,
they're brothers. And you're like, really?
But anyway, I was like, there's just no way this movie is about two brothers fighting over his entire. That sounds way less exciting and sexy and cool than if they're in a throuple. You know, it just sounds kind of interesting and something I want to see. But yeah.
But so the trailer is very, is raunchy the right word?
Like, no, or, I would say
it was like elevated smut.
I would say it was like what's a good word for that, like what you don't like expectation, or what they showed in the trailer was this one scene in the movie where Zendaya, I'll look up the characters' names in a few moments, but
wait, I know it.
Cam, was it Cam?
No. The guys' names are Patrick and Art.
Patrick and Art, which one's Patrick?
I think Patrick's Josh O'Connor. Okay. And Art is the guy from West Side Story. Ugh,
his name I cannot remember. Like, people keep saying it, and I'm like, he was great, but I just cannot remember his name.
His name's like Mike something.
Mike Feist. That's it. Mike Feist. All right. We might have to end this one just because they are, might not be able to call them by their names. Because honestly, did you write a set called them by our names?
I was going to make a joke, but I was waiting for the opportunity to.
I just feel like they are, it was kind of like a movie star movie. I want to call them by their real names because I just feel like they were so great. and movie star quality, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But yes, the trailer features this scene with Zendaya. And what we learn when we watch the movie is a hotel room with the two boys. And the parts that they show are like her being like on the bed and they're like, she's like, come on over. And they're like, which one? And they like rush over and then like cuts away to like certain very evocative scenes. So it's kind of like playing on what you don't see.
Yeah.
When in reality, what that scene was, okay, let's dive into it, because I really enjoy the male characters' interactions with one another. And in fact, there's definitely a queer reading there. So that was my favorite part of the entire movie. But the one part I didn't really enjoy watching very much was how, even though it was funny, but also it was kind of eye-rolly, how much they were just being such idiot lustful, like they were like, look at Zendaya, oh my god, we like have to, ah, like they just, it was just so,
they were
like
supposed to be teenagers,
it was just like silly. It was like they hit the joke like one too many times, I think. Like I was laughing, okay, and then a few times I can't remember what they did, but it was just like, oh my god. But then I started to enjoy it again when they go back to their hotel room, because okay, to set the scene, they're all at a tennis conference, they're all like young tennis stars, but Zendaya is the biggest tennis star of all, and the boys are kind of maybe, you know, good but not on her level. Like she's kind of one of those up-and-comers you're going to hear about in the news, like even someone like me who's not like a really a big sports fan is going to know their name. And so yeah, they go to this party, they see Zendaya, that's when they're really like obsessed with her, and it's kind of funny, but then in my opinion it just kind of like gets a little like the jokes like hit one too many times, I guess. But then they, you know, they kind of strike out, but they invite her, they're like, oh, you should come back to our hotel with us, we have beer. That was a pretty funny line. And then she's like, maybe, I don't know. But and then they're back in the hotel room, and Josh O'Connor, who's kind of more of the suave star of the two of them, I would say, at that time, he kind of still believes Zendaya might come, and Mike Feist is like, dude, she's not coming. And then she knocks on the door, and their reaction is hilarious. They're like, oh, it was like me and you trying to kill the cockroach. They're like, oh, the cockroach's on. Yeah.
The hotel was like disgusting. They were like smoking cigarettes. It was so messy. And they're just like trying to clean it up as fast as they can. And then Toshi is her name.
Oh, Toshi.
Toshi,
yes,
which
yes,
is, I think is a great name.
I agree. I can't believe I forgot that.
She's like at the door and she can like hear them. It's like really cute. But the whole marketing for this movie, the trailer like makes it seem like this scene is like everything's building up to the scene. Because everybody knows it from the trailer. And in the trailer, Zendaya is like on the bed sitting between the two guys. And I don't know if they show them kissing in the trailer.
I think they show them beginning to kiss her.
And then Zendaya like leans back and gives like the...
It's like the canary, the cat in the canary face.
The most like...
Like,
lustful, I got voyeuristic look ever that I've seen. So like, I feel like the entire... Like marketing for this movie hinged on that.
Yes.
Look, that's Zendaya.
I agree. But what's funny about the scene, as an aside, is that first of all, it's clear she's been there for a very long time, and then she's like, "We're out of beer," and they're like, "Oh."
Wait, no, she just shows up.
No. But remember that? And they're sitting on the floor. They're talking for a little bit before the being on the bed. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, I thought she like walks in the room and says, "You're out of beer."
No. They had beer and then they sit on the floor and they're chatting. And then she
Zendaya walks into the hotel
that's not
room
right.
And she's looking around.
That's not right.
And she like chats with them.
But they sit on the floor. People, tell us who's right. Go see the movie. But the point is that it seemed to me like they've been chatting for a little while and they had beers. They were drinking beers. I remember they were holding them. And then she goes, oh, we're out of beer. And she's like, looks at them like, what are we going to do about it? And they're like, oh. And then she moves to the bed and okay. Then she tells them to come here. So that's like everyone's been like waiting for the scene. They remember the trailer.
Come here.
And then, oh yeah, yeah.
Like they're dogs.
Yeah, and then they do. They jump up again.
Well, no, they like, that was the trailer too, I think. They like pause, they like look at each other.
And, like,
and then Josh O'Connor's character is like the first one that dashes.
Oh, you're right,
and then
right.
Mike like falls after him.
Which I really like this part. But then the only part that's excluded is that it kind of builds to this moment where Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist begin kissing one another, not paying attention to Zendaya.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier she had said something when they had kind of both been hitting on her. She had said something like, I don't want to break up a marriage, like joking that they were so close that she doesn't want to like get in between them. So then they're kissing and she's on the bed making that face. And then she's like, all right, bye guys. Mm. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to mess anything up here. And then she leaves. It just ends really quickly.
So I think this is an ode to the movie Y Tu Mama Tambien. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, I think I have, but I don't remember.
And the story is a woman seduces two men that are like in early adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a threesome together.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets them to like kiss in the movie. That movie is much more, I mean, they all have sex in the movie. It's really interesting, like this woman like pushing these, she can like sense these men.
That,
there's like
that
some attraction
desire.
There,
yeah, I felt like that's the way think, it was here too.
But what was interesting is like, I don't think Josh O'Connor's character, he was sexually fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But like Mike, his character, I still kind of questioned his... sexuality.
I feel like my takeaway was like they had this intimacy because basically they had been, they had both gone to this tennis boarding school and been roommates. Uh-oh. Where they had...
Why'd you say uh-oh?
Because we're roommates, so they made me laugh. So they have like this incredibly tight, close bond and this intimacy that, you know, is difficult to pierce, I guess, that Zendaya can see and probably other people can see as well. And I mean, later on they show Josh O'Connor like on a dating app and he's set to bisexual preferences. So both men and women are appearing. And then for Mike Feist's character, I didn't really like think about his sexual identity, mm-mm. but I just took away that like maybe like, you know, people might disagree, but like, I just think fluidity is a thing. And, you know, maybe there's always that one person that you go for, even if you're really straight as a ruler.
Wow.
Hot take.
There was a scene that really stood out to me and it wasn't like that, or at least it didn't feel like it was that significant, but obviously Luca includes everything because everything has significance. But there was a scene where, and I guess we should discuss another.
Actually, I have a question about that, but yeah, go ahead.
Another element of this movie is it's flashing back and flashing forward.
How did you feel about that?
Pinging back and forth. I was really confused at first, but then I ended up falling in love with it. And even at times I didn't really know where I was in time. I had to base everything off Zendaya's haircut. But there's one flashback where Mike's at Stanford playing tennis and then Josh shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh like chases after Mike and Mike's like running away from him.
Those scenes were my favorite.
It was really cute, like the interaction, like the friendship. And I think so that's what's interesting about like talking about sexuality is I feel like intimacy or like moments like that, like don't have to be tied to.
It doesn't have to be. Yeah.
Sexualities. I mean, men should be able to be affectionate with other men and not feel like.
I agree.
It's gay.
It's interesting because then there are people who are pansexual who would say like that is the way that they experience attraction, period, where it's not tied to gender at all. So it's like sexuality might not be a choice, but the decision to look at it and to understand your own sexuality is a choice. Okay. And a lot of people go through life without ever really probing their sexuality. And that's probably because it's scary. And we live in a society that's not very tolerant of that questioning. But back to the structure. I don't know if I love the structure because
you didn't like a lot of things about this movie.
I mean,
why are we beating around the bush? Why don't you tell the audience what you thought of this movie?
Okay, well, I thought I was going to love it. So, and also I'm wondering, I have a friend who told me that if you see a movie at night, you're less likely to like it. And ever since then, even though I love the nighttime, I do think
how
about that.
How often do you go to movies during the day?
Not very often, but every time I do, and it's supposed to be a good movie, I think I like it. But anyway, that's a story for another time.
You just told it. I don't think there's anything else.
Oh, there's more to it.
Oh, really?
Just like we could go into it. We could be like, did you see this during the day?
Not to get academic on you, but...
But let me get out my pencils and rulers. I was trying to think of academic accoutrements. And I was failing. Textbooks?
What's the thing that you'd have in like geometry, the measuring tool? I was always so excited to get those things. That would help you like draw circles.
Yeah, what was that called? Protractor?
Protractor.
I felt like it was like the word rent again.
Let me get my pencil and my protractor to kill academic on you.
Wait, every time I would be academic now, I'm going to say it's time for the pencil and the protractor corner or something like that.
Well, so I remember being so excited, like always getting a protractor for school. I didn't use that goddamn thing once. I don't even know I had it.
I didn't use it either. I do have a story about geometry. We come back to that. It's a story for another day. Ah, sorry.
We'll say that for our math episode.
If we see a really good math movie.
What's the gayest math movie out there?
I know. What's that movie called with Benedict Cumberbatch? World War.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What's that called? The Turing.
The
test? No, it's not called that. But it's the Alan Turing movie. I love that movie.
I can see it in my brain.
That's such a good movie. I even read the script. Okay. All these tangents are happening at once. The structure, I felt like it robbed the movie a little bit of some tension. I don't know. I think maybe it could have been done a different way. Sometimes I liked it more than other. I just enjoyed the past so much more than the present. And I understood the past so much more. And then I felt like when I would go to the present, I felt like there was like not as many stakes. And it was, except for the game. And like seeing the stuff that was before that, it felt a little bit like we were kind of like, what's the word? Like extending things for the sake of extending them. Like, oh, let's show you this scene, you know, from 5 hours before. And I was kind of like, no, get me back to the game. I don't know. So at times I was a little bit frustrated by the structure. And also I feel like another thing we should add for context is when we're talking about the structure of the movie, it's the past when they're the people part we already described where they're young tennis players. And then it's the future where Zendaya has ended up with Mike Feist's character and she's been injured. And so she can't play anymore, but she's Mike Fife's coach, and he's a very established player who's going through a big rut, and he goes to play in a challenger competition, which is kind of like my understanding, like for up-and-comers who are trying to get bids to the bigger tournaments. Mm-hmm. And they're sending him to do this like one in New Rochelle because Zendaya wants him to get like a win under his belt so he can believe he can go all the way to the big the Grand Slam. What's it called?
What is it called?
The US Open. Every time I said it, I had heard it before, but yeah. But then Josh O'Connor ends up being there, and what's happened to Josh O'Connor is that even though he was the better player, he's kind of somebody who life has always come easy to him. He probably didn't practice a lot, you know, he kind of just has not put in the work, and so he's kind of just like a mid player who is out of money, basically homeless, it seemed like. And
some other podcasts, and they always describe his character on like two different podcasts I listen to, they called him in different ways a dirtbag fuckboy.
That's exactly like, what he was. But he was so charming.
Yeah.
That I was like, yes, but all right.
But okay, we kind of went off.
I just wanted to give people the context. Yeah. So anyway, but no, the future part that's important is that they end up playing each other again. And then Feist is like, did Zendaya do this to me on purpose to embarrass me? Yeah. And then Josh is like, he's just fucking around with everybody. And then Zendaya's like, oh no, but maybe she's like, oh yes. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. But okay.
The composers, Trent Reznor, and there's one other guy.
Atticus.
But yeah, throughout this entire movie that I think, honestly, might be one of the biggest reasons why Allison didn't like this movie.
Okay, yes. I love, when I hear Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, I think The Social Network, and I think of all these other great scores, and I love their music, to be honest. I think they always add so much to the film. And, if you stripped this music away from the film, I probably would like it. But it was always overlaid over intense, like, emotional fights between the characters, probably to suggest to the audience how these emotional fights are like a competitive tennis match where the ball's going back and forth, blah, 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 blah. They're in it. They're in a relationship, blah, 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 blah. And I got the metaphor. I got it. But I couldn't hear what the hell the characters were saying. And it was making me really angry. And I never do this. I actually took my phone out and I texted Joe.
So we're sitting in different spots.
Yeah, we booked them. Yeah. And I said, this music is really annoying. And it was to me.
And so we weren't sitting next to each other. So I was like, I just kind of assumed that you loved it, honestly. And I like stood up and I like looked behind. Our friends were like sitting directly behind me. I was like, I love that. And then Alice's like walking down the aisle and you were just making this grumpy cat face. And I was like, oh, she does not like it.
I mean, I loved, like I said, the guys and their dynamic was my favorite part.
The first thing you said to me is like, Zendaya's character didn't make any sense to you.
As a kid, she did. And then as an adult, I understood the part where she like, had to become this coach, and that's the only way she can access this world.
Yeah.
And she went with the person who would be her little, you know, her little wet player, who's coachable, who will listen to her, which I get.
Yeah.
But then, like, I just don't understand. Josh O'Connor is very charming, so I got it. But if you were not to have that actor in that role and you were to have someone who couldn't pull it off as well, this man, he's not competitive. What would be? And he's like, you should come and coach me. And that's supposed to be tempting to her. And I'm like, why? Like, she could go find some nice up-and-comer who could take her all the way to glory. I'm like, no way. This would not tempt a 30-year-old woman with a child.
She's supposed to be 40. She's like pushing 40. They're pushing 40, I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't think so. Because she said to Josh, you're 31. That's what another part of the movie where I'm like, they were too young to be having
these.
Are you sure it wasn't a flashback? No, it wasn't. They were too young to be having these.
I thought, because Mike was talking about how he's going to retire because he's like pushing 40.
No, that was why he wants to retire early and just be a dad and just like live off the foundation. But like, and that's why it's frustrating because
I don't know why they.
She's a competitor. That part I got. She's like, you can't give up now. Like, if it was her, she would never retire that early. Yeah. Like, she would never retire until she absolutely had to.
Yeah.
And that's the part I didn't like. Even though I believe an emotional argument could make you lose your focus and you could have an injury, but just to have like a female character get into a fight with her boyfriend and then get injured during a match when he wasn't there. It was just kind of like, I don't know. I didn't really like that.
Zendaya has this like evocative line where she's like, tennis is like a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
When she was like really young, there's a point where the person she was playing against, she was like annoyed by them or frustrated by them, didn't think they were a very good player. But she was like, for like a minute, we were like in the zone and it was the best feeling ever.
And that was the only part of it that she defined as tennis, which I liked.
And
that
so
was a great monologue.
She screams, come on. Which I think, should we do a challenge right now and do the Zendaya?
I don't
come
remember
on
how she did it.
We can stand by the bathroom.
Okay. Should we get your pickleball racket?
Tashi, after she hits it, she's like, come on!
That was good. Okay.
Your turn.
I guess I have to do it now. Come on!
I liked yours.
Wow.
That felt like it really came like from your diaphragm.
There was something I was watching. I forget what it was. And the character was like, I feel like a scream has been inside of me my entire life. I went, oh.
Yeah.
That was really, I'm not saying that's me, but
I'm really impressed by that.
I think partially
I was really blown away. I really felt it.
Thank you.
Anyway, fun. There's a callback to that in the movie that I really
like.
I mean, might as well say it now. But at the end, the two the guys, movie. Art and Patrick, have this intense playoff.
Well, what's especially important about this part was, well, sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like this context is very important. Off screen, Tashi has asked Josh O'Connor to throw the game without the other guy knowing so that he can have this win. And this is after Josh O'Connor has basically asked Zendaya to come coach him instead. And then they end up hooking up. There's some weird slow-mo. So then she's watching the game, expecting...
But not to whiplash you, we also have to flash back. Because there's a flashback at a time when neither Art or Patrick had slept with Tashi.
They're both pursuing her.
And Art and Patrick are playing tennis one day after one of the nights that Patrick was hanging out with Tashi. And Patrick's like, you have a tick. Every time you're about to serve, you place the ball in the triangle section of your racket.
Yes.
And then Art's like, okay, well, did you sleep with Tashi last night?
And this is Mike Feist saying it to Josh O'Connor, because I've been saying those names the entire time, just in case people are confused.
And so Patrick's being mischievous and not answering. Art's like, if you slept with Tashi last night,
Be like me.
And then so Patrick's going up to serve, being very dramatic, and slowly puts the ball up to the netting, but then he lowers it into the triangle. And then Art smirks. And then while Patrick's distracted, Art stops smiling. He's like upset by it.
Oh, yeah, because he likes her.
Yeah.
And then we also learn in another flashback that after they get married, Zendaya and Josh O'Connor cheat. And nobody knows. And then our friend at the end of the movie points out something amazing that I didn't even think of, that maybe the child they have could be really his child, which that never crossed my mind during the movie. Damn. But so back to this important match, Zendaya is watching the match, thinking Josh O'Connor is going to throw the game. And we don't learn that until like kind of the end, but you start noticing that she's not really watching the game. She's staring straight ahead, dead-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
It was a really cool shot, actually. Everyone else was doing that ping pong look, looking like on both sides of the court, and Zendaya's just staring forward.
Straight ahead.
In her cool sunglasses.
And then it becomes...
Chanel Esperoa dolls.
Her fashion was...
How do you say it?
I don't know. You're asking Esperaldes. The wrong lady.
Cognac.
Cognac?
Oh, yeah, I think you had it. Esperalde.
Esperalde? I don't know. But
Esperalde.
Anyway, then something shifts where it's almost the end of the game. He's thrown like two serves and he's going to throw this last one. But then he's like kind of like hesitating and she's kind of like is like a little bit panicking. She's like, wait, is he not going to throw this game? And then he looks at his friend. He's smirking. And the whole time he's been kind of smirking at him in a rude, weird way.
Yeah.
And then it was very obvious this was going to happen.
It was a big, long lead up. My only complaint of the movie was this scene. They drew it out for so long. It's like, we know it's coming. Just do it.
Just put the ball in the triangle section. That was good. And so, yeah, so he reveals to his friend with their secret friendship intimacy language that he has cheated on him with his wife. And then he yells, come on.
Art does.
He yells something.
But
I think he does.
Art is like devastated. At this point, I'm so confused with the scores. I'm like, I don't know who's winning, who's losing. And then Art's like, serve. And then Patrick serves, but Art doesn't even like return it. So I'm like,
yes. Because this is what happened. Josh was about to lose if he didn't make another point, but then he does. So then it goes in tiebreaker round.
I wasn't keeping track of the score at all.
And I was sitting in a very bad seat. My screen was cut off. I couldn't see the scoreboard.
Oh.
So I was just trying to figure it out the whole time, but I'm pretty sure that's what was going on.
Okay.
Because then they had the big title that said like tiebreaker or whatever. Yeah. Then Zendaya starts watching the game, like back and forth. And the last point, you know, it's like a big, what's that called? Spike situation. Mm-hmm. And they end up like falling into each other's arms.
They're both jumping in the air at the same time. And Art's the one, it's on his side of the court, and he's the one that slams it.
Yeah. So it seems like he probably won.
But then it was a really surprising reaction, actually, is Mike falls into Josh's arms and they're like hugging each other and like laughing and smiling. And then this part, I get like chills even thinking about it, is that it cuts to Zendaya.
Yeah.
And she does her, come on! Like, to bring it all back.
And I think love that.
That callback I really liked. The one with the reference to like them having sex, I thought was fucking stupid.
Okay, it was really stupid. And I think I actually audibly said, because I felt like the person, the stranger next to me, needed to know how much I was annoyed by it. I was like, this is dumb. I was like, oh, I'm really bad. I was like, I shouldn't have done that. But then I saw on Twitter today, they had a picture of the tennis ball in the triangle from the movie. They're like, you know, this goes to show that sometimes when you can really anticipate what's going to happen in a movie, it is very artful and extremely well done. I was like, no, sometimes it's really predictable and silly. Yeah. Yeah. And that part made me think that the screenwriter, and he's obviously really talented, like it was a really well-crafted script, but I just feel like he thought of certain moments in his head, like this language of how to talk about sex with tennis rackets, and then like manufactured the story around these cool ideas. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I listened on the Big Picture podcast. They interviewed him. His first name's Christian, and he wrote this on a spec. What does that mean?
It means he did it for free and then sold it.
Christian is married to the woman who wrote, what's that?
Oh, Past Lives.
Yeah, Past Lives. Wait a minute. On Wikipedia, it says it's written by Justin Rutskis.
What?
I had the name wrong. Why did they name Christian?
We're really sorry, Justin.
Justin's married to Celine Song. I don't know why I kept saying Christian. Okay, I'm sorry, correction, Justin. But to give a little, so to go back to what I was saying on the Big Picture podcast, when Sean was interviewing Justin, he was asking about the balance between, like, was it the focus on the world of tennis or was it the relationship dynamic? And then Justin said, and I thought this was really interesting, he said, because the film was inspired by originally this moment of watching the US Open in 2018, and there was this final between Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, Serena Williams got this call from the umpire where he said she received coaching from the sidelines. And then Justin goes on to say, and that immediately struck me as very cinematic, that you're alone on the tennis court, that there's this one other person who cares as much about what happens to you as you do, but you can't talk to them. And I started to think immediately, well, what if you really need to talk about something? And what if it was something that was beyond tennis?
That's great.
I think that's
great.
Really great quote.
That's really great. I just don't feel like they had, this is what it all comes down to. Like, it was more just like a fun, like pretty exciting piece. And I thought it was going to be that and have emotional depth. Yeah. And I just don't feel like it really did.
I loved the movie. I did go in expecting more depth to it than I got.
Yeah. Okay. I was talking to a friend and they said that they had learned this interesting concept about relationships, which is that we each bring our own thing into a relationship, our own set of baggage and quirks, whatever it might be. This could be friendship, romantic, even workplace dynamics, whatever, family dynamics, everything. But a relationship is co-created by the parties. The dynamic is kind of brought into being by the way the interactions go. And so like whatever we're bringing to a dynamic is informing how the other person's responding to us and vice versa, which seems really obvious, but the way this was like described was really interesting to me. And so I think like when I think about the movie Challengers, they were saying like tennis is a relationship, and like when it was most successful or when it felt really like tennis to Zendaya is when all of that like complex what each person's bringing to the table is kind of out in the open driving these real true passionate hits.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes the game and when you're invested and you want to watch. And I think that's actually really cool and wise. I don't know if the movie really explored that as much as it could have.
You've described this to me twice now. I'm still like having a hard time like grasping. I feel like you kind of have to like dumb it down. Like I need like a concrete example.
Okay. An example. All right. If somebody, when they were a kid, let's say like they lost a family member, and so they have this like subconscious like feeling of abandonment, and then they're going to bring that into adulthood, and then the other person has something going on from their background they're going to bring in, like instead of a fear of abandonment, they're afraid of being engulfed by the other person, whatever it might be. I don't know, each of those aspects of their lives are informing the current dynamic, but what's really happening is they're creating the dynamic. So we're doing things subconsciously that kind of bring out the reaction of the other person that is like our deepest fears or whatever it might be. I mean, it could be in a positive way too, but does that make sense? Kind of like if you're really afraid of being abandoned, maybe you cling too hard, then the other person pulls away, and then that is informing your fear of abandonment all over again. That's what I mean. We're each creating the dynamic. Like no one's really at fault. I mean, we're at fault for our act. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you hear me?
So what about this was like new information to you though? Like that's the part that I don't, like the concept like makes sense to me, but I'm like,
I hear you.
I'm like both like, wow, but I'm also like, I feel like I know that.
I agree. I guess like I knew that. We subconsciously are acting in line with the way our past experiences have formed us. Like I get that. But I never really thought about how like a dynamic between two people is something that both people are like creating in the moment subconsciously.
When you say they're creating something in the moment.
Like we can like adhere to our patterns and bring, or we can be aware. I guess that's what I mean. Like we're creating these dynamics, right? And like ideally if we're self-aware, he'd be like, oh, I'm doing it again. Mm-hmm. And then be like, maybe I should talk to this person about it. Or maybe I should choose a different way. I don't know. I guess I don't really know. I don't know why it struck me. Maybe I just like a good turn of phrase. Yeah. And that is, I mean,
it's
that.
It's really fitting to have had this conversation so close to seeing this movie. I think in my own friendships and like romantic relationships that have fizzled out and stuff like that, only like when I have like all the pieces there, can I be like, oh, like I see where some of my actions where I'm kind of the one at fault for like how this kind of didn't work out.
I guess that's why it was surprising to me, because it's like, yes, I think we're really good at that. We're like good at recognizing your own patterns. But yeah. I guess the idea that it's like not just you, it's the two of you together and the way that you respond that's creating that reality. So it's not just on you, it's on the other person too, but no one's really at fault. People are subconsciously reminding each other of other things all the time. And so
it might not
be, it could just be like, I don't know, a certain thing that's like taking you back to the past. I don't know. It's really just interesting to me. And where's my pencil and my protractor? Sorry.
Challengers. It's just like so fun.
It is really fun. I'm sure if I saw it again, I would like love it.
I just feel the three people who starred in this movie just have so much caliber and just were like amazing.
They were awesome.
I mean, mostly it hung on Zendaya's shoulders. Yeah. But like I thought Josh and Mike were
like,
great too.
Get the character. Her performance was awesome. It was incredible. Like if it had been somebody else, I would have probably been like, no. But Josh O'Connor, I think, really was the standout. Like he is so good. That guy, you should hate him, but I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah, he was great. It was really interesting and I really enjoyed it. And I had a lot of fun. And the music was loud and pumping. I just love it for the big swings it took. And
it did. It did take big swings. Have you seen any other tennis movies that you love? There's only two answers that are right. No, I'm just kidding.
What are they?
I love that movie Wimbledon. I don't even remember what it's about, but I loved it. And I also love the Battle of the Sexes. The Battle of the Sexes is the reason that I ran a marathon.
Whoa.
Should I tell you why?
Tell me, yeah. Oh. Tell me.
I don't know why. I thought it really inspiring.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, actually, this is a very interesting story. It's really not.
That's good. I like it. I think what's interesting about this movie, so I'm really curious actually how old they're supposed to be in like the present day of this movie.
I'm telling you, she said he's 32.
But on the Untitled Movie podcast, they were talking about how it spoke to them. I think they're a similar age to us, like in their like early 30s. Mm-hmm. We're still young, mm-hmm. but we're at an age where you can't like jump into a competitive sport. Like,
you can still do equestrian.
Do you have plans to do that?
Or archery. I'm sorry. One time when I was younger, I was much more concerned about age when I was like 25. And I would Google like, what sports can you still get an Olympic medal in? When you're old. Why? I don't know. And archery is one of them. And so was some kind of equestrian sport. So yes, but I hear you. We can't really be the top of our field.
On the Untitled Movie podcast, they were saying like how we still have so much life ahead of us, but there are doors that are closing in other ways. So I thought that was like a really interesting element of tennis. And that kind of reminded me of our attempted marathon story.
Oh, I was right to bring up the marathon. Yes,
you were.
So I guess I should close the loop on that to explain my relationship to marathon. So back in college, my friend ran a half marathon and I said, it was my roommate. I said many times, I would never do that. Oh my
How much
gosh.
Were you running?
I was running like every day or like most days, like for like 3 miles, 2 miles. That was it. I never did anything else. I didn't do anything else for exercise, which is hilarious. But then, which is also not that dissimilar to today, but whatever. Okay.
Wait, you row?
I row, but that's only because you bought a rower. And I did get some weights because I heard it's really important to do that in your 30s. Speaking of, doors closing. Okay, so then I'm in my 20s. I'm wondering about my sexuality, but I'm not talking to anyone about it. I see this trailer for a movie called Battle of the Sexes, where Billie Jean King, a person I learned about probably from that trailer, who's very famous, challenges Steve Carell to a tennis match to prove that women can beat men who, you know, and I was like, well, what? This is like an amazing movie. And then I found out it was a gay movie, and I was like, oh. And then I was like, maybe I should see that movie. You know, just kind of back my mind. Yeah. Like, I'm seeing it for the Battle of the Sexes. Or am I? And so I go to this movie and I love it. I thought it. So I love a good, it's like Naiad. I love a good inspirational.
Feel good inspirational.
Movie. And I love Emma Stone. And I love Steve Carell.
Yeah.
All around great. And so then afterward, I'm like walking home and I think she was 26 in the movie, or that's the age that the Billie Jean King was supposed to be. And I was like thinking the doors are closing, but the chance for me to do something really amazing athletically like Billie Jean King, it's going to go away soon. I'm like, I should run a marathon. I bet I could do it. And then so I ended up texting my friend who ran the half marathon. I said, hey, I'm thinking about running a marathon. Like, I know we don't live in the same place. Would you do it with me? Like, we could train. It could be fun. And she was so game, which was awesome. And then we ended up running two. And then we were training for a third one. It was going to be in Chicago where I was going to grad school. And I had done all the training. And then 3 weeks before, I got an email from my program telling me that
an alum of my institution was coming to speak to us, George R. R. Martin, and Game of Thrones, the final season had just ended, and our cohort's very small, so it's going to be a very intimate gathering, and I was like, amazing, and then
you
looked...
You were like, the last season's my favorite, I've got to see him in person.
That's exactly what I was thinking. We actually were told that we were not allowed to ask him questions about the last season of Game of Thrones, or about when he would finish his books. But then I looked at the date, and it was the same date as the marathon. So then we didn't do it, and I intended to do another one, but then the pandemic happened. So anyway, I moved to LA, and I'm like, I should get back to my marathon ways. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Joe's really athletic. I'm going to make him do it with me. And it was really fun. We, like, trained.
Trained. And then in January of 2023...
The less fun part happened.
We ran... Well, no, we ran a half marathon.
So I come back from the holidays, and Joe's like, hey, I signed up for the Griffith Half Marathon. It's on Saturday. You should do it with me. And I was like, yeah, I'll spend $200.
Was it $200?
No, it was like $150. It wasn't that bad because it was actually a very brand new race. They had never had that one before. So we show up. I'm excited. And we're like waiting. Then it's time to line up. There's not that many people there because it's like a brand new race. But it's still a race. And that's important for later on the story. So then we start. And I don't remember how Griffith Park is basically a cliff. And there's just like a billion hills. For some reason, when I started, I like suddenly like started panicking. I'm like, wait, do I even know how to breathe while I run? And I was already like thinking that in my head. And then we turned the corner. And I'm not joking. It was a hill that probably went on for like 4 miles.
Yeah, the whole beginning of the race, you're just running uphill the entire time. The entire time. And the crazy thing about it is it's like very windy and you're like turning around corners of like mountains and you can't really see what's ahead of you. And then you'll turn a corner.
And it's like more hill.
And then you look off into the distance across the way and you'll see tiny specks of people running far off in the distance. You're like, oh my God, I need to get to that point also. So that was very like mentally taxing. But I had no frame of reference. So I was like, well, this is just what it is. This is what a race is. So I went for it.
And I walked that part. And then after that, I was like, I just need to get, I'm like probably so far behind. I actually really wasn't, surprisingly. No. But I was like, I need to like really finish. And I remember you had told me that like mile 14 or something was under a bridge. Oh. So we got to the bridge or like a tunnel. And I was like, oh my gosh, amazing. But there were three tunnels. And there were also people on horseback because there's like horseback riders. It was just really interesting. Anyway, we finish and I'm so glad. My one toenail did get bruised and eventually fall off. But you know, mostly I was fine. Yeah. And then we find out that Joe came in like 10th place or something.
Every time you tell the story, you like bring me up significantly. I think I was like 55 out of 200.
Still amazing. No, it was not 55. It was a number that impressed me. It was like 24. Wow. I'm going to look it up. It's still online, people.
But so I was like so thrilled. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting leading up to the marathon that we're gonna run in March. And then probably like a few weeks later, I had this trail run that I loved, and I basically ran to the Hollywood Hills and I'd run around the Hollywood Reservoir and then I'd run back home, and it was like this really nice like long run. And I was doing it one day and I was like not even like fully up the Hollywood Hills, and I was like, huh, like one of my knees feels kind of funky.
Let's keep going.
And I proceed to run that day. I think I ran like...
And these are 12 miles.
12 miles. And the last like 3 miles, I was like limping home. It was so horrible.
And you ran again on it.
I was like in denial. So like 2 days later, I like ran again. Then I couldn't even run like 2 miles on it.
And then you couldn't even walk.
And there'd be like weeks where I'd like measure the distance of where I need to walk to, because I'd be like, I don't think I can make this. It was awful. And so I had to drop out of the race.
And then I was like, well, I can't do anything by myself.
I lost my ride.
Yeah, actually, that probably was a consideration.
There was like a whole, yeah.
Well, also, I was commuting to work and it was winter. And so I don't want to run in the dark. I'm like afraid to do that. Yeah. And so I'd be like, when am I supposed to do these runs? So I feel like my training was also like slipping. And then I like got a gym, but I really couldn't like
go.
I really didn't want to pay for this gym. And so then when you did it, there was just a confluence of factors. Yeah. And I just want to stress that though Joe couldn't walk for a while, which was really awful that I think about it, I'm so glad that went away. I just remember really looking, we went to go see the wildflowers with our wonderful friend, and you were like, I can't walk.
Oh.
That was really sad. It ended up being fine because we just kind of like went to one field, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Beyond this injury, Joe and his entire family are incredible athletes. In another context, I feel like I am pretty athletic, you know, like I feel like I probably am better than the average Joe. But not this Joe. I just thought there were a lot of like, you know, not only dares that I couldn't complete because I was afraid of everything, but also like a lot of like games where I would be the worst one physically.
Like some athleticism to my family, but I think mostly I just have really competitive siblings.
As a child, this energy, I was always like,
oh my gosh, I can't keep up. This is so shameful. And also I'd be like, because your sister, my friend, would be like, I want to be a professional soccer player. And honestly, she was really good. Like, probably could have been, right? And I'd be like, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Even though there's no way in hell I would ever made it that far in the world of soccer or any other sport. And so then we cut to Easter of 2022. The first year I was here, Joe's family very wonderfully invited me to come visit for Easter because I like couldn't go home to my own family. It was so lovely and kind. It was so wonderful to go back to Seattle because I hadn't been in a few years. A bunch of the siblings and similarly athletic friends were like, let's go play this game. It was an invented game. Immediately flashing back to 2005, like, oh no.
It was an invented game.
Yes, it was soccer tennis, table tennis, whatever situation, soccer tennis.
What the hell it's called?
And how do you play soccer tennis, Joe? What is this game? Can you explain it to our audience?
Well, it's just tennis with a soccer ball. You use your feet.
So you have to basically do juggling. That's like the hardest part of soccer skills.
I didn't know this deeply wounded you.
But it, like, but it did it. That was what's funny about it. It's like, I remembered how this would have made me feel back in 2005. Oh. But then we go, we play it. I'm like, I know what's going to happen here. And sure enough, I was terrible.
Mia Hamm could have done it.
She definitely could have. I had a Mia Hamm jersey.
My sister had two copies of a Mia Hamm biography book. I don't know why.
I had a copy of that book too. But yeah, that's my story.
Yeah. My only complaint is this movie should have been a story about pickleball.
Joe loves pickleball. Yes,
it's the sport that's sweeping the nation.
And do you feel like it's died down a little bit? Like,
no. Nope. It's on the upswing.
I feel like I saw so many articles about it, and then I stopped seeing articles about it.
Because the people that were writing the articles started playing pickleball. They're too busy to write things.
We did see a picture of Taylor Swift playing pickleball.
Yeah.
And that, to me, maybe makes me think it's on the map. Yeah,
maybe I should be. Maybe this crazy little sport has something to it.
Wait, that reminds me of something important I have to share.
What?
It's about Taylor Swift. Which is that today is Lesbian Visibility Day. Do you know why I know that? Because the music video Me was released on Lesbian Visibility Day.
That's music video is a fucking hate crime.
Well, okay, but then I read this other sad theory that if she really was trying to come out back then and everyone laughed at her silly rainbow music videos, that's kind of sad.
If she had started out with You Need to Calm Down, everyone would have been like,
but a lot of people didn't like that music video.
Name three people that didn't like that music video. Name one. You? Why do you like it?
I like it. Allison. I like it. There were people who would be like, this is performative, just kind of laughing at her and thinking it was not a great display of being an ally and just like a cash grab. All right, back to our regular scheduled programming.
Also, there was an Applebee's scene in this movie. I don't remember it.
That was so weird.
What happened? When did it happen?
So weird. Okay. There was a trash motif in this movie, as a side note. Which I'm good. I can't believe we didn't talk about the trash.
Flying trash. Flying. It became an action movie.
We'll talk about that in a second. But basically, when they're adults, but not yet married, and they haven't seen each other in years, Zendaya and Mike Feist run into each other at a tournament. Zendaya's already a coach. They go to dinner. And I remember kind of like looking at the walls of this restaurant and being like, what kind of restaurant are they at? Like, it kind of seems a little hokey in there. Like, oh, well, whatever. And then I stopped thinking about it. And then I actually really loved this scene. Mike Feist asked her, like, would you coach me? I don't know if it's a good idea. She's like, are you still in love with me? And he just kind of changes the subject. And then she goes, you never answered if you were still in love with me. And it's a kind of callback to an earlier line. He goes like, well, who wouldn't be? And it was really sweet. I really actually loved it. Then they go outside to the car and then they start making out. And there's this really freaking loud noise and it was a dumpster slamming shut.
That was really freaky.
It was scary. Again, back to the trash motif. They turn, they see the trash, and then you realize it's an Applebee's.
Is that like the idea, you know, like when you're like falling in love with someone?
Yeah.
And you just like remember all these like details so specifically where it's like, I like can't remember what I did yesterday or the day before.
But yeah.
When you're like making these like really like intense memories, like everything stands out to you. Everything's heightened. Everything's like,
I think that's probably right.
Emotional is and maybe what I was going for. But
I think that's right. And I also think it's like they were looking back at the trash separate from the trash. And then when she hooks up with Josh O'Connor, they're surrounded by swirls.
Was
of
the trash can being, the lid was being closed.
Yeah.
And
no
here,
more trash.
Wait, that's so silly.
I know.
That's what it was.
And it was okay, but then there's a windstorm. I actually really liked seeing the wind. And
it was really fun.
It was blowing all the trash around on the court.
Yeah.
And that was fine because, you know, that happens, especially like in this like big kind of like complex. But this windstorm continues for a long time and the streets are full of paper just flying all around. I don't know. I've been downtown during some windstorms and there's not that much trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was way too much and it went on for way too long. And then I was like, this is trying to hit me over the head with this trash metaphor. And it is numb.
That was silly. But it was like,
but it was memorable.
I love that even. It was just like really precise when it wanted to be. There's a hilarious edit. It's like the first time we're about to see Mike play for the first time, I think. And he's like going up to serve. Before he hits the ball, it cuts to a TV screen and him and his wife are rewatching the
game. Oh yeah, that was cool.
And he's like doing poorly. So it's like really super. You're like, oh wait, I thought he was supposed to be really good. And he lost.
Yeah, that
and
was interesting.
Tashi's like giving him pointers on what he needs to do. So like you like figure out their dynamic. So I just felt it was really sharp. It was really sexy. It was hot.
I'm going to watch it again. Yeah. I probably will like it more because my expectations will be tempered.
Watch it during the day. Come on! I'll hear you yelling downstairs. I'm sorry. What else? Tell me one surprising thing.
So what's the surprising thing I could tell you about the movie? Oh, this isn't surprising, but this is my favorite part of the whole movie. So when they're in college, Zendaya is dating Josh O'Connor. Zendaya's been walking around this shirt that says, what's it say? Told you so?
Yeah, I told you.
I told you. And it's gray. It's a great shirt. It's like kind of like a Just Do It shirt, but yes, it's not that.
Exactly.
And then they get this big argument. And then I think intentionally, Josh O'Connor puts on her shirt and leaves the room. And then years later, when she sees him again, he's wearing the shirt. And I freaking loved that. Yeah. That was my favorite part of the whole movie.
Well, another podcast down.
Many more to come because we're addicted now. My amazing sister Caroline shared our podcast on the interwebs, and then I shared her podcast on the interwebs. And so we've had 3 listeners so far, and I've been obsessively checking your analytics. And I saw that we had 20 something downloads, and I really basically that's what's been going on in my mind. And I keep checking my analytics and getting really excited about the modest bump in listeners. Thank you, everybody. We really love to have you
thank
here.
Thank you. This has been Queer Cinema Catch-Up, a movie podcast about...
And a TV podcast. And other things.
And music and other things.
But yeah, mostly movie podcast.
We're Allison and Joe. We are roommates.
True.
Having never known the other was queer.
True.
Reconnected 20-ish years later.
And tried to run a marathon and failed. And please feel free to send in thoughts, comments, suggestions. You could send in an essay. I might read it out loud. I'm not kidding. To Queer Cinema.
She's a fast reader. She's not kidding.
I meant on the podcast.
I'm like, Allison, please stop reading. We've got to record.
Queer Cinema Catch-Up
at
Gmail.
Let me sit down Jane Eyre and I'll be right over.
Which is a spinoff podcast idea. But I'll come back to that another time. QueerCinemaCatchup@gmail.com. Please email. I keep opening the inbox and I think someone's going to email us.
Give Allison something to read, please, you guys. And then also follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
At...
It's queer_cinema_catch-up, I think. It should be easy to find.
So. My last question. Out of the 3 characters, who are you the most?
I would say I'm definitely not Josh O'Connor. Definitely.
Patrick.
Patrick. I just can't. I just love them so much by their performances. I have to say their real names. But okay, Patrick. I think I'm between a Tashi and an Art or a Zendaya and a Mike Weiss because... I think a lot of people are. It's like we're pulled in the direction of, do you want to like relentlessly commit to a goal and let that consume your life? Or do you want to be a person who cares about life and your relationships? And so I feel like most people fall in between where they're kind of torn between the two worlds. What about you?
I'd agree. I'd say the same thing. If not more leaning towards Art than Tashi, because that's just too much.
It's too much.
And I wouldn't like force somebody to... come down every week and record a podcast with me.
Wait, I thought of another connection between you and Tashi. You both have had...
Oh, you've been holding out. You're like, oh, this movie reminds me a lot of Joe.
You both have had knee problems.
Oh, God.
Which reminds me of this horrible moment.
In the movie?
No, it's horrible moment. We were seeing another movie.
And oh, my gosh.
And Joe's knee was really bad. And there's commercial starts and it's somebody with knee pain. It was a preview during a movie. It was like before the actual commercials for a movie started. It was just like a commercial. And I leaned over to Joe as we bantering as we always do. And I go, look, it's you.
And then immediately as Allison says that, this character like is in a hospital. They do an x-ray and it turns out they have cancer.
And then the screen goes dark and it goes, 1 in 4 people will get diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. And we were like, oh. Yeah, sorry about that.
Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm Joe.
And I'm Allison.
And
this is QCC. Come on! Bye, guys.